And from the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Quemery. Earlier this week, the Juneau Assembly approved spending more than $320,000, made up of mostly grant funding from the Federal Aviation Administration, to purchase an amphibious wetland rescue vehicle for the Juneau International Airport. The vehicle is called the Marshmaster MM2MX. At the Assembly's meeting on Monday, City Manager Katie Kester said emergency responders would use the vehicle to rescue people who get stranded in wetland areas surrounding the airport.
The reason that this response vehicle is necessary is if there were to be an accident, an airplane crash in that area, we would need to allow emergency responders to respond quickly and in large volume to that event.
Airport manager Andre Delgado says it can be used for a variety of emergency situations.
Now, as far as its water capabilities, it does float, and it can traverse ice and muskeg and really harsh terrain as well.
The airport's board of directors approved the purchase last month. The Assembly approval came this week, despite Mayor Beth Weldon and Assemblymember Neil Steiniger voting against it. Weldon served as division chief at Capital City Fire Rescue for 2 decades. She said she didn't think the amphibious vehicle was necessary.
I appreciate us trying to get a specialized piece of equipment, but as people know, I come from the fire department. I have seen these, and I just don't see it something that we need right now.
CCFR Chief Rich Etheridge says the fire department typically responds to 3 to 4 incidents a year in the wetlands. People sometimes get trapped there when the tides come in behind them. The ongoing maintenance of the vehicle will be paid for out of the airport's budget. Starting today, Juneau residents won't have to pay local sales tax on essential food and residential utilities. Voters in Juneau approved exempting them during this fall's recent municipal election. KTOO's Clarice Larson reports what that will look like for residents and businesses.
Before Thursday, when you would go to grab some groceries or pay your utility bill, Juneau city government would tax most residents at 5%. But now that tax has dropped down to 0% for everyone, regardless of their income or age. That's because of a ballot measure that was approved by voters during this fall's election to remove the local sales tax on essential food and residential utilities. Phil Govea was buying groceries at Foodland IGA on Wednesday afternoon. He says he's excited for the changes and to see some extra cash back in his pocket.
Yeah, it's going to help me. I'm 70 years old. I'm on a pension, so groceries keep going up. My pension doesn't.
The exemptions officially take effect on Thursday, 30 days after the fall election results were certified. The proposition passed with nearly 70% of voters' approval. Deputy City Manager Robert Barr says the rollout of the exemptions should be pretty hands-off for most residents. He says the city is working with businesses on implementing it, but it may take some time before all retailers are under the new system.
So our goal was to implement this in a way that was as easy for residents as possible. So most residents shouldn't have to do much, if anything.
The exemptions apply to the same food items that qualify under the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP or food stamps. That includes foods like fruits and vegetables, meat and dairy, bread and cereals, and cookies and ice cream. But it doesn't cover hot foods like a rotisserie chicken or meals from a restaurant.
You can think of the food, what qualifies as food, is largely groceries. Things that you would buy from the grocery store and prepare at home, or things that are intended to be consumed off-site.
The utilities exemptions apply to residential electricity, heating oil or propane, water and sewage, and garbage and recycling. Alec Mezdag is the CEO of Alaska Electric Light and Power, or AEL&P, Juneau's sole electricity provider. It serves more than 16,000 customers. He says the logistics of rolling out the exemptions are challenging and complex due to AEL&P's large number of customers and having to verify which accounts are for residential use versus commercial. Despite that, he says the company is actively working with customers to ensure that those who are eligible to receive the exemptions get them as soon as possible.
So what we intend to do is go through our list and, you know, apply the exemption as broadly as possible, but excluding certain accounts that appear to us to be highly likely to be not eligible to receive the exemption.
He says AEL&P is sending out letters to customers to inform them which accounts have received the tax exemption and which have not. And while the exemptions are expected to put some extra cash back into residents' wallets, It, in turn, means the city is expected to face a $6.4 million hole in its budget this fiscal year. And each year moving forward, the city will face an estimated $12 million revenue loss from both the tax exemption on food and utilities and the separate cap on the city's property tax rate that voters also passed. City officials and the Juneau Assembly will be grappling with potential service cuts in the coming months. In Juneau, I'm Clarice Larson.
You can find more information about what is qualified under the exemptions on the city's website. And researchers and community members gathered in Yakutat late last month in northern southeast Alaska to discuss local geohazards like landslide-inducing tsunamis and how they can be addressed. KCIW's Catherine Rose reports.
Landslide-induced tsunamis are a rare but worrisome phenomenon that has a history in southeast Alaska. Perhaps the most infamous happened in Lituya Bay in the 1950s. It generated a massive wave, a mega tsunami that killed 5 people. Decades later, in 2015, 180 million tons of rock slid into Icy Bay, about 40 miles northwest of Yakutat, triggering a tsunami over 600 feet tall. No one was injured, but the event raised concerns for community members like Melinda Lakanoff.
At that time, I was working with Native allotments, and we have quite a few Native allotments. We have lodges up there, but we don't really have a whole lot of any kind of rescue agencies or anything that could reach that other than Coast Guard. So that was kind of big concerns for me.
Lakanoff has always been curious about the land and concerned about safety, something instilled in her by her elders.
Hearing from my elders, because I was raised by my grandmother, and a lot of them talk about the old times and things that we need to look out for. Whatever happens below us from Southeast Alaska will soon catch up with us. Even though we're covered by glaciers and we're refrigerated in, our temperatures and everything is changing and our lands are changing and shifting. And so just keeping an eye on that and looking at the safety has always been kind of a passion of mine.
When Lakanoff moved back home to Yakutat several years ago, she began to keep tabs on nearby earthquakes. She was often in a helicopter for her day job and would observe landslides from the sky. She realized the two could be connected and began working with researchers to monitor the slides.
So we're finding out a lot of our lands here in Yakutat are changing. And so we had concerns about landslides and how they're being affected, our waters, our community, our salmon streams, the safety of our boat.
Lakanoff is using her connections to help a project called Kutech, which is the Thlinkit word for weather. The 5-year grant-funded project is researching geohazards, like landslides caused by extreme precipitation events, in 6 communities across Southeast, including Yakutat. Luca Silva manages Kutech for the Sitka Sound Science Center.
What the project really was focused on was working with local tribal governments in each of those communities to get a sense of what research concerns and interests there were for those communities and for those tribes, and how we would be able to support them as a group of scientists.
Silva says the group first traveled to Yakutat last fall to meet with community members, and landslide-induced tsunamis were a high priority in those conversations. Silva says landslides like the one that created a tsunami in Icy Bay are different from the slides most Southeast communities are familiar with.
When truly these huge chunks of rock and earth from mountains are falling due to a wide variety of reasons and factors, but these are truly, pieces of mountains that are sloughing off of them. And because of the geography of Southeast and geography of Yakutat, these slopes that we are concerned about could slough right into these large basins of water and create these huge waves in a way that is mechanically different from how shallow-seated landslides work and in a way that changes how we monitor for them.
So the Kutech project got to work, bringing together a group of visiting experts and scientists from the Yakutat Thlinkit tribe and community members, where they could share ideas and make plans for how to address the issue. The group met for a 2-day conference this October. On the first day, they discussed where the science is, what's known and what isn't, about landslide-induced tsunamis. On the second day, they discussed next steps for ways to mitigate the risks. Lakanoff says it was great to get folks in the same room and on the same page.
The Kuté brought in not just only about concerns about landslides, but concerns about what is going on in our community and to be able to give a safe space an open space for all of our agencies plus experts to be able to talk with us about realistically what's happening, what we could be able to do and work together. And so now we're working together on try to monitor it, come up with a plan.
She says they'll develop a community safety plan and a monitoring and alert system. Finding the money for that project is next. Silva says Kuteh intends to help Yakutat Tlingit tribe and other agencies secure funding to pursue the additional research, which they hope will lead to a safer community. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
And Congress has nullified the Biden administration's resource plan for the National Petroleum Reserve Alaska. The measure passed the House on Tuesday, largely along party lines. It passed the Senate 3 weeks ago and goes next to the president's desk. The action is the latest by Republicans in Congress and the Trump administration to erase President Biden's environmental legacy and revert to what the first Trump administration achieved. As Alaska's all-Republican congressional delegation sees it, Biden's plan for the NPRA would have locked up about half of the reserved oil development. Alaska Congressman Nick Begich says Congress is halting the resource management whiplash by using the Congressional Review Act. It forbids reimposing a nullified rule.
So a future administration can't come in and decide to do something similar without the express authorization of Congress in the NPRA with respect to the NPRA rule.
The House also passed Begich's resolution nullifying the Biden administration's 2024 restrictions on oil development in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. It reimposes prior Trump administration's leasing plan for the area. That Congressional Review Act measure goes next to the Senate. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 44 degrees and raining. And it looks like we're expecting more rain the next couple of days, with temperatures between the high 30s and low 40s. You're listening to KTOO. For more news, go to ktoo.org. And thank you for tuning in this afternoon.